Yeah, I think having, one question kind of be a spark.
Yeah. So, this is the third episode we do of this part of the podcast. Me and Kayla had a podcast together about 30 episodes.
Wow. Congratulations.
It's just 5 to 10, 5 to 15 minutes every day. We just talk about our days and stuff like that. This idea I've had for a while, Travelers Podcast. Because there's a lot of, friends, family, people that I know growing up that, I ask them questions about what they want to do in their lives, and they say, I want to eventually travel, right?
Mm.
And then something that sparked in my mind, it's like, why are you waiting? Like, what are you waiting for? If you want to travel, like, leave, right?
Absolutely.
So it's that barrier that I'm trying to break down. It's the fact that people think that they need to go achieve something first and then go travel. And that's something that I'm trying to understand. So I have created a set of questions.
Yeah.
And I have modified them for this one because the other two, I just, wrote them down and just picked something. Now I have a more specific. Yep.
I would actually want to start with something really unique that I don't think you know about me.
Okay.
I started traveling thinking that, I needed to have a bunch of money and being able to, kind of have this lifestyle. But in reality, when I was living in Southern California, I was in a lease, which was ending. And me and my roommate said, let's not get another lease and go travel.
Yeah.
In a month, I sold all of my belongings, including my car.
That's so cool.
And I had a total of $800. With that $800, I went to Malaysia. And within 3 months, I was out of money.
Wow.
And I've been traveling for 16 months.
Wow.
So you got to think about how did,
yep.
I kind of overcome that.
Yep. And I got questions that will reveal and unfold that.
Very cool.
The very first few questions I wanted to ask is, like, who are you? Who's Cameron? Where are you from? And now we know a little bit about that. And then how did you end up in Pi? So we obviously met in Pi.
Yes.
How you got here is always a fun story. So who are you? Where are you from? And how did you get to Pi?
Right on. So my name is Cameron. Many people refer to me as Cam. Uh-huh. Cam is a name that I love here in Thailand because it's a one syllable. It's easy to understand. I came to Pi after being in Chiang Mai for 6 months. So I worked as a tattoo artist in Chiang Mai. I absolutely fell in love with Thailand. After the New Year spent in Chiang Mai, I went down south. I did the south for about a month. And then there was another instance where I ran out of money. I had $18 to my name, and I was pretty scared. I asked my little brother if I could borrow 20 bucks. He gave it to me, so now I had $38, and I was quite, like, content with that, and I knew I could figure it out, but I actually didn't, because while I was working in Chiang Mai, the reason I went down south is because my tattoo machine broke in Chiang Mai, so my equipment malfunctioned, so I didn't have a way to operate it.
Yeah.
And that
held you back from bringing in funds.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I was pretty much gasping. And I had heard about Pi, and I knew it was somewhere in the mountains, and I'm like, you know what, if I go do a meditation retreat, I can save some money. If I, live more low-key, more local, I can save money. So I thought, let's do it. So I spent about 22 of my dollars to get a 23-hour bus from Phuket to Pi.
Really?
So, yeah, it's a, it's a 10-hour bus ride from Phuket to Bangkok, a 12-hour bus ride from Phuket to Chiang Mai,
oh my God.
And then a 2.5-hour from Chiang Mai to Pi. Did it in one stretch. just because...
That's insane.
Yeah, it was literally like desperation. I didn't know what to do. And
but that brought you here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So upon coming here, I stayed at a hostel in town. Never really been to Pi before, but felt good. And in less than 48 hours, I'd stumbled into paradise. And at Paradise Backpackers, I saw the art on the wall, and I met Johnny. And I said, hey, I really love all this work. Is there a chance I could maybe do a mural? And, just for some food or something, no expectations, really humble approach. And he looked at my Instagram, and he thought, you know what? Let's meet Joe. And Joe looked at my Instagram. He saw my tattoos and my illustration. He said, Cam, you're very good. How would you like to start tomorrow? We need some help here. I said, great. And they're like, awesome. Like, we'll give you a keys to a bungalow, a scooter, and you have meals as long as you need. And you can imagine my heart center bloomed.
Yeah.
I realized that that was the omen I was looking for.
That's
I was
crazy.
In complete synchronicity with my reality. Everything Sick. Was working out. And then, yeah, I stayed here for 2 months, worked as a graphic designer, did a lot of stickers and t-shirts. And then that's where Income Flow happened. So that's kind amazing. Of the next chapter there.
That's so fucking cool. And then, obviously, you know, you've been here now. How long ago is that?
So this is... About 7 months ago.
Out and in of Pi, but that's 7 months ago.
Yeah, so I got to Pi first time late February, and then I lived here for 4 months. I went to Vietnam for a month, and then I just finished a 3-month trip in Europe, where I got back to Pi just 4 days ago.
Yeah, because you've been able to save up funds working here. And
yep. So
that's fucking cool.
Time working in Pi, I saved enough money to book a flight to and from. London Heathrow, and I got to go to 9 countries while I was in Europe.
Crazy.
Yeah, all because of Pi.
That's so cool, man. That's an amazing fucking story. And then, obviously, we know that you're a tattoo artist. That's your craft. That's what you're good at. How did you get into that? Because I imagine, you know, drawing usually starts, you know, there's some sort of like a pencil and paper, and then it merges into like being a tattoo artist, right?
Yeah.
How did it start for you?
I think a lot of it started from my community projecting the idea onto me as people asked, hey, I like your work. Uh-huh. May I get it tattooed?
Yeah.
And I kind of was thinking, oh, I'm kind of like a middleman here. Uh-huh. How can I monetize on this more? And I was like 16 when I did my first tattoo.
Amazing.
So I really didn't really know what I was doing. I guess this is the term where you're like a scratcher. Like you're literally uneducated giving a tattoo. But, you know, it's everywhere starts from humble beginnings.
Yeah.
But yeah, by the time I was 19, I was apprenticing. I had a massage table in my house. I was doing tattoos in and out of studios. It was really awesome. But the thing was, when I left to Asia, I actually wanted to leave all my tattoo equipment in the States because I wanted to give myself a break to artistically develop.
Uh-huh.
And you can imagine what I went through. 3 months in, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm out of money.
Yeah.
How am I going to do this? I'm like, I'm going to go back to tattooing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was a really interesting journey. But I feel that tattooing has been something that's allowed me to not only connect with people on a deeper level, which is something I find I do naturally, you know, as with you, you know, just in a few conversations, we've dived so deep into life's fabric, and we've really seen what beautiful patterns there are and the colors that are available to all of us. And the fact that tattooing is kind of a conduit for that just allows me to connect and then as well tell people's story.
Yeah.
So I love storytelling, and I think that is something that
that's beautiful.
I appreciate.
Especially with tattoos, you know, you get to tell somebody else's story through your words, kind of, because you're like, it's art that you only, that you design, right? Because this is something that you agree with somebody that wants that tattooed, right? It's like you sit together, and then that's a process in itself to agree on what that is, what it means, how it's going to look like, and now you're going to permanently have it on your body, right?
Yeah.
So that in itself is just a really cool, you know, scenario for me. And that you, you know, I have one tattoo that I got when I was 16 years old.
Cool,
that was more like a, you know, like a stamp of something that I had experienced, like that I needed to like make evergreen. And, you know, it's there, and I haven't, you know, I haven't sought after another one, and I can see that you don't have many tattoos either.
I've got 22 tattoos.
What?
Yeah, my
I'm
legs
like, I'm just sitting
are
here
blasted.
Looking at your arm. There's, like, nothing on your arm, so
I'm
like,
got,
I can't see
one
him.
One tattoo here, but yeah, my legs are done up. When I was growing up, I designated my left thigh, so it was sort of like my friend Jack, he was like, kind of inspired me. He's like, yeah, like, it's kind of like the left thigh is the DIY thigh. So if...
DIY?
Yeah, like do it yourself.
Oh.
So if there was like a idea that was like kind of cool, but I knew it wouldn't look amazing, boom, my mind was already made up, left thigh. And so I just started to collect this kind of like...
So it's like a scrapbook on your left thigh?
Basically, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So now we know how you got to Pi. And how you got into your craft. And sometimes it's fun to dive into, like, how that all happened. So, like, your upbringing, your parents, relationship with life, from when you were younger, like, you know, say high school years, and how you have evolved up until now. How has that been? Like, do you enjoy your relationship with your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have had a unique upbringing. I was born in Reading, England, and at the age of 5, I moved to the United States. And by the age of 8, my parents got divorced. My mother moved back to England, and for 7 years of my life, I went to and from the UK to the US 3 times a year. So as a kid, I was basically a jet setter, and I wanted to be a pilot. I loved flying, but I never knew what it felt like to have a summer with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, that was one thing that I didn't get until I was like 16.
Yeah, because it was once with your parents, the one with the one, and the other one.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was really interesting. From a young age, I really knew the feeling of love. I felt that I had something really like special inside of me, and I was very deliberate as a kid to use my words and to allow myself to just make people smile and like kind of hold space from a very young age. I started meditation at about the age of 15. I was this kind of like unconventional kid where people were like, "Hey Cam, like we're gonna go out to this party tonight. Do you want to come?" And in my head, I'm like, "I just want to go draw this mandala."
That's so cool.
I'm just gonna go home and draw and meditate.
Yeah.
And
because that was more valuable to you.
Absolutely.
And you felt that genuinely. You didn't feel like you were missing out or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that I could definitely learn from, because I FOMO'd a lot. A lot. So, like, I gave up so much of the things that I wanted to do personally because I was afraid of missing out or anything. But that's, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I valued skill acquisition from a very young age.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, and especially, I don't know, like, I used to, like, wrap a t-shirt around my head and pretend I was a ninja and just, like, make that my workouts.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Just because I thought it was a skill I needed to know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I did archery at a young age. Like, I was really into...
artistic, artistic, you know, creative, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think creativity is probably the lifeblood of culture.
Yeah.
And I'm really into problem solving. I mean, that's the big difference between design and art. You know, some people ask me, are you a designer or an artist? Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I'm both, because it's different.
Of course.
You know? Yeah.
I could imagine a world in which somebody could be both of that. Yeah, I feel like I am.
Yeah.
An artist in some ways, creative in others, sometimes they merge, right?
Yeah. So, like, art is subjective expression.
Exactly.
And design is problem solving. So people who think they're, like, they go to school for design, you're really going to school to learn how to solve problems.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, in your relationship with your life, as you explain it right now, how has the support from friends and family been?
Well, so friends and family from back home or friends that I've met along the way?
From back home.
Okay. So,
this is, you know, that's part of the theme of the podcast I was trying to get to, is like the people that you meet out traveling is usually the people that you want to get to.
Yeah.
But the people that are hard to get away from is the people that you grew up with, your friends from back home, the expectations from society, you know, that circle of people that, you know, have subconscious, you know, expectations for you, and that we subconsciously try to fulfill to, like, be accepted in society, right? So then, did you have support from friends and family from back home?
Oh, that was really well articulated. I definitely have, you know, healthy relationships with pretty much everybody in my life. I'm a mindful person. You know, I'll send someone a text when I can. I'll even give them a FaceTime just to get that face and face value.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, it's now it's kind of infrequent. You know, like, some of my best friends at home, like, we talk and it feels like I didn't leave, you know, a year and a half ago. But, you know, they...
You came back to exactly the same thing that you left. Yeah.
And, of course, I think the hardest thing for these relationships back home, even my parents say, when are you coming back?
Uh-huh.
And to be truthful, you know, I just don't know what's around the corner. But I know that, like, I put my heart into every step I take. So I'm just like, guys, I'll be back when I'm back. Yeah. But I'm really focused on my life right now.
That's cool. And they're okay with that.
Yeah. My parents are super supportive. My dad is, you know... I told him, you know... almost 2 years ago, I said, Dad, I'm going to be a digital nomad. And he said, what's that? Yeah. And I said, I'm going to work decentralized from anywhere in the world. And he said, good luck.
Yeah.
Because he's climbed the corporate ladder, and he's just like, you need stability.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think after I passed the 6-month mark, he was like, oh my God. Like, I'm really proud of you.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even comprehend the things that you've seen or gone through, and the fact that you're so positive every day means that you're on the right track.
That's probably the reason you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Because you're an optimistic mindset. Amazing. We know this. So how did you earn your way? Before you became a tattoo artist, what did you do? Because you went to school, probably.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You didn't pursue that.
Yeah, I know. I had art lessons at the age of 5.
Oh, shit. Okay.
All through high school, I was in AP art. I was incredibly scholarly. I went to college in my senior year of high school, so I was doing concurrent enrollment. I did all of my GE while a senior. And then when I went to college, I enrolled in the architecture program. I was the youngest student studying architecture, and I earned my associate's degree in just under 2 years with 2 certificates in sustainable design and development.
That's incredibly impressive.
So I'm not necessarily focused on architecture now, but that foundation of environmental design has served as a major interest in all the cities I've gone to. And it's actually funneled into, for example, getting a chance to design a tattoo studio, being able to pull from a vocabulary that is, you know, educated from.
Yeah.
You know,
that's amazing.
I can use words and I can think about themes on a macro and micro level, you know, with just proportionally. I can proportionally design. So, yeah.
You have essentially made your income, not only being here in Pi traveling, but also when you were back home.
So when I was back home, So just to bring you up to speed, after I went to architecture school, graduated in the year 2017, and then there I got a job working as an art director for a skateboard company. So I started doing graphic design then.
Amazing.
And that was great because the Adobe platform was a reflection of the AutoCAD interface, so I was able to kind of step into that. After that, I founded my own graphic design firm with a few partners.
Yeah.
And I was working as a graphic designer for about 1.5 years. And that was a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
So the architecture, the graphic design, and tattooing was kind of this, like, trinity of expression that I was always going in between.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I felt like I was getting pulled in many directions. I'm sure you've experienced this. Like, you have this identity shift where you're like, I want to do this, but I'm interested in this.
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah.
And I felt like it was my responsibility to bring all of those disciplines to a parallel and say, I'm unique because I have all of these things.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's a hard decision to take. You say that, that I have probably experienced something similar, and I do, and I have experienced that similarity in which I feel like I want to go so many different ways, and then I feel like I gotta pick, but then I don't have to pick. It's more like just go try everything and see what it is that resonates with you the most, right?
Absolutely.
I love that. So what has surprised you most about yourself so this can be a broad question. It can either be, you know, like a life question, or it could be like a travel question, right?
Because
we're about to go into like travel questions. This is more like a personal part of it. But we can merge it into like the personal. So what has surprised you most about your growth in your travels?
Okay. I felt like right when you said surprise, I knew an answer.
Cool.
And I think it was my ability to delay gratification.
Nice.
And
that's such a skill.
Yeah. And every single moment, I'm just like basically like attuning myself to gratitude. And I feel like because I have a lens of gratitude in which I observe with, I'm able to see which moments I should put energy to, which compound to be some of the greatest moments that I will ever live.
Yeah, that's the word, compounding.
Yeah.
It's the same as negativity. It compounds, right? And then good happenings, a positive mindset, a good mindset, call it a good mindset, that's also subjective, but a positive mindset, as you say, like gratitude, a thankful mindset will also compound. Like, luckier coincidences happen. you know.
You know the definition of luck?
No.
So I heard this. I think it was from a Jay Shetty podcast.
But love Jay Shetty.
Yeah, he was saying that, you know, luck is the intersection of preparation and opportunity. So people say, you know, you create your own luck, but in reality, time is cyclical.
Yeah.
And when a door opens, if you're prepared,
you
walk in. Wow, what a lucky shot.
Yeah, right.
You're like, no, man, I worked really hard for that.
Yeah.
So
repeat that for myself and for everybody listening. Luck, the definition of luck, say that again.
Is luck is the intersection of preparation and opportunity.
Amazing. I love that in so many ways. Now we're going to go into more of like a travel questions, like what's like useful for travels, more information about like how it is to be a traveler, right? So what's the most reliable source for you personally for travel information?
Ooh, honestly, I feel like I use people as way signs. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth.
Same thing, man. It's always the way. Networking.
Yeah.
There's so many things that I came here and found that I had no clue about, and I was like, why haven't I heard of this? It's because you know, you gotta find it online if you're not actually here. But yeah
the thing about a lot of these, you know, countries in Southeast Asia, there are people who have created online cultures, travel blogs, things of this nature. But I think when you're, you know, staying in hostels, for example, and someone's like, I did the craziest thing today, go do this, mm-hmm. or I tried the best khao soy, mm-hmm. have you been to this restaurant? And you're like, no, but have you been here?
Yeah.
And it just, like, stimulates so much knowledge.
I agree. So, word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
That's definitely the word. What was your core motivation to start traveling?
My core motivation was actually because I wanted to pursue a master's in architecture, but I felt that I would be held back if I learned about the world from a textbook.
Yeah.
So I told my parents right when I started school, I said,
that's your intuition speaking right
there. If I'm going to pursue, I will have a deeper kind of pool of experiences that when I'm in the classroom and someone's talking about the Colosseum, I can say, oh yeah, I've been there and it felt like this.
Yeah.
And I saw the neighboring structure and I didn't think it reflected the Colosseum's legacy. And I could speak from a tongue where it was formulated from experience.
From your actual experience.
Yeah.
And not from somebody trying to tell you how it feels over there.
Exactly.
Great. Love that. What is the most important lesson you've learned while being on the road? You can name three, because I imagine there's fucking millions of them,
yeah.
right? So, like, three that comes to mind.
Okay. So, three lessons that I would share. So, lessons come from mistakes. Mm-hmm. So, I think that the first mistake is there are times where you wake up in a city and say, I need to leave today. Listen to that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, go. Travel. Yep. You can move fast if you have to, and that's really fun.
Yeah.
So, lesson is, if you feel stagnant, do something about it.
Yeah.
Lesson two is, a smile can lead you on a journey that you could never expect it.
Yeah.
So, always keep your chin up. Mm-hmm. And even when you're feeling sad, then, you know, just smile and you'll be surprised.
Yeah.
Half an hour later, you're going to be in a completely different place.
Such powerful.
And my third lesson is, you're not always as hungry as you think. Mm-hmm. So we always think, like, man, like, I need 6 meals today, but I don't have that much money.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, think about it. Like, do exercise, uh-huh. but stick to a 3-course meal, even 2-course.
Yeah.
And, yeah, eat a lot of fruit.
2-course is something that I was surprised that I was able to. And fruit, fucking snacks, dude. That's something that could fill me up quicker than, you know, a tofu fried rice. And I could eat, like, 2 bananas and, like, a bunch of those. I don't even know what they're called. There's, like, amazing snacks all around this fucking country.
Absolutely.
I really like. What are the yellow ones, the round ones that you can, like, that you peel off?
Rambutans?
What do you call it?
Rambutans?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like yellow and round. Dylan buys them
They're like the leeches.
Leeches, yeah.
Yeah, but they're not. They're like not. Thai style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called either.
I was so surprised that I could have, because I'm a big dude and I've always ate a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I came here and I've had, you know, rice every day for 4.5 months and I'm so fucking okay with it. Like, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
So that's something that is very surprising for me.
Yeah, it's the thing. Locals know how to basically, like, alchemize spices to just make amazing, you know, combinations of flavor. And you're like, Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, I need to learn how to make that when I go back home. And this merges probably with the lessons that you had from earlier, but what would you say to somebody that is unsure about executing on their traveling dreams but are hesitant to do so?
Ooh, so, yeah, there's a number of things that, you know, would deter someone from traveling. Mm-hmm. I think that the first thing you should look into is not only the political atmosphere of a country, but also the situation in nature.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful to have never been in a country where there's been a natural disaster, but that is probably the top of my mind.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're not going to somewhere during hurricane season, because you'll land, you'll get to your hotel, but maybe you need to stay inside for a few days, and that is detrimental to your mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely making sure that the conditions are okay. And also Googling, you know, when are the best seasons to go, because you could map out 4 or 5 different countries based on, you know, where to go. Actually, another thing I would say is when traveling, buy a one-way ticket to one country and another ticket going home from a different country and fill in that space with your time.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome, because then it forces you to actually go see what's in between. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. I like that you didn't mention money there, because most people are like, pay your debt, and then... Because maybe I should specify this question a little bit differently, because it's more like traveling dreams, executing on your traveling dreams. Let's say you're going to go out traveling for 6 months, right?
Yeah.
There's some stuff you need to get done at home before, because you don't want to have credit card debt, or you don't want to have mortgages, you don't want to have all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But since, you know, you're optimistic mindset, you're like, money, finances, all that will be solved even when you're out on the road. And I love that.
Yeah, no, I've certainly had my parents say, like, hey, we got these letters from your cell phone bill. Like, are you going to pay this? Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't work in Asia. What do you think?
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, you need to deal with things. And it's very important to assess those kind of things that you, it's still a part of your life, no matter where you are in the world.
Yeah. It just needs to be taken care of, right?
Yeah.
So now let's talk about a little bit more like fun destinations and stuff like that. So,
cool.
What is your favorite place outside of your home country and why?
Ooh.
There's probably many, though.
There's many. Yeah. So I recently tallied a list of all the countries I've been to, and the list exceeds my age.
Really? Yeah. That's really cool. So you've been to almost 30 countries.
Dude, I'm definitely not 30. I've been to 25 countries,
so
which is just phenomenal. Yeah. And I was thinking about trying to keep this, like, you know, a thing for a long time. And I want to inspire other people, like, you know, go to more places than how old you are.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
So that means that you need to go one new place. Like, now you have some years to catch up, though.
Exactly. So I can, like, be stagnant for a little bit. But, yeah, like, for example, my stint in Europe, like, I went to 9 countries. Like, I was just trying to go as fast as possible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was pretty cool to, you know, fill that up. I left the United States with 0 stamps in my passport, and I now have only 1.5 pages left.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, so over 20 pages are stamped.
I love that.
It's crazy.
I love that so much. That's such memory for, like, the future and keeping it in a cool safe and just look at it when you're 50, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so fun destinations, I have really thought about, you know, things that I was interested in as a kid.
Yeah.
So I loved the game Assassin's Creed 2. Which was all based in the Renaissance era, and I think the character's name was Ezio. So he had to go through, like, all of these different places in Italy, and just, like, scaling buildings and stuff. So one thing that I really look for is places that I could climb. So I'm an avid rock climber back home.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, just being able to travel, I'm always thinking about, like, wow, look at, like, I wonder if I can scale this temple wall, you know?
That's what Assassin's Creed do, guys.
Yeah.
Video games. I love video games. I played a lot of League of Legends. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah that's cool. Yeah,
and RuneScape.
Nice.
Fucking, that was a game.
Do you feel like you've brought those interests into what, you know, you look for while walking by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think video games have sparked not only the ability to speak better English, because, you know, it wasn't my first language, my third language. So
wow.
That is how video games have helped me primarily. And, you know, and then the world of video games, which is just amazing, right? So I don't know how I've reconnected with an everyday life on video games, but I've definitely learned a lot from them, yeah. And I haven't actively been playing them, but I really do miss it. I'm going to go back to my brother. He's a big gamer, and we're going to probably be gaming every day for the next 2 months now, so
wow.
That's going to be nice. I'm interested in hearing about interesting person or a situation, a interesting person or situation that you can remember right now. Like, somewhere you've been, doesn't have to be here in Pi, it could be anywhere. An interesting person in an interesting situation during your travels.
Wow, I think that there's, you know, an interesting thing every day. I have a mantra of meeting a new person every day.
Amazing.
So that's sort of, yeah, it kind of like acts as a catalyst to...
It's easy around here.
It's very easy. Very easy. Yeah, oftentimes I meet about 2 to 6 people a day.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And, you know, I'm really good at remembering names. So, cool. Like, a few months ago, like, I just kept hearing the phrase over and over again, like, I'm really bad with names. I'm better with faces.
Yeah, I keep hearing that, too.
It really kind of, like, struck a chord in me. So I said, I'm never going to say those words. So I'm really good at names.
Yeah.
And I can walk into a group of, like, 12 people, and, you know, it takes a little bit of time to, like, look at each person. And my technique is I say, okay, so let's say there's 4 people here, mm-hmm. Felipe, Sarah, you know, Eric, and Jack. Mm-hmm. So I'll say, like, hey, like, Felipe, it's great to meet you. Thank you for introducing me to Sarah. You know, Sarah, it's great to see you today. And the fact that you're sitting next to Eric is awesome.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'll, like, look away, like, Felipe, have you met Jack?
Yeah.
And then basically, like, pull it all together and string a story in front of people's eyes.
Yeah.
And then people are like, wow.
Wow, yeah.
And then in the conversation, I make sure to address each person one time.
That's cool.
Because then at the end, I don't forget them. And that's the worst feeling, right? You meet someone and you walk away and you don't remember their name.
Yeah.
So if you address their name halfway in the conversation, it gives the space to say, oh, wow, like, have you been to the White Buddha here in Pi?
Mm-hmm.
What was your name again?
Yeah.
Say it then.
Yeah.
Because at the end, it totally saves that energy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, I struggled with that previously, like, with names, not remembering them. But then when I came here, you know, that happened yesterday to me, which was really cool that you, like, brought up that story. We were just sitting, like, 8 people around the table, and I was the only one that was able to, you know, connect everybody. Like, okay, this guy I met, like, 2 hours ago, and this is, you know, Matt, and then, you know. So
yeah, even last night when I met John over there on the stage, you know, we were talking, and I'm like, hey, have you met Felipe? You're walking up. And John's like, yeah, me and Felipe were just hanging out. I'm like,
literally met them 3 hours ago.
Wow, yeah. It's really crazy.
That's one of the fucking things I'm going to miss around here, man. That's such a cool thing to be able to just walk out to your backyard and that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Crazy. What destination have you not been to yet, but you're planning to go?
Cool. So I have not been to Sri Lanka or Nepal. I really want to go to either one of them. I
heard beautiful things about both.
Yes. Yeah. I have two. My parents had a honeymoon in Sri Lanka.
Cool.
And I want to go to just northern India. Super bad.
Yeah. I need to go there too. I've heard so many good things about it, about, you know, the Indian culture and how everything, you know, unfolds up there. It's just so different.
Yeah.
Even though we're in Asia right now, but it's like you can't compare it. You can compare Thai culture to Indian culture.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think Thai... I mean, so I've been in Thailand for 11 months, almost a year.
Shit.
You know, it's been stacked. And, like, not only have I appreciated Thai culture so much more than American culture, mainly just because of this, like, opportunity to connect.
Yeah.
It's really about the connection for me, not only with yourself, but with nature.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's an important part of being a human, I think, connect with nature. I've learned that not long ago, really.
Mm.
I didn't even know it was a thing. And then recently, I don't really know exactly when it was, but I think I read a book, A New Earth. You probably read that before.
Yeah.
Which, the very first time I read that book was like, it's like something like unlocked. It was just so cool. And I think that was one of the things. He doesn't necessarily talk so much about nature, but he talks about humanity as a whole, right? We are consciousness. You are consciousness. And we all were created by it, right? And that was something that unlocked in my brain there. And I, like, it's just like a feeling of gratitude, like, just, you know.
It's amazing how you get introduced to one idea. Even when you meet someone new, they kind of break, you know, this kind of paradigm in your head. And then after that, you start to look at everything else a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're just absorbing information through a different lens. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think books, the quest really for knowledge.
Yeah, I love that. What destination? I already asked that. What is the best piece of travel advice you've received?
My best piece of
travel... Or a best piece of travel advice that you would give. But this is more like a... This is similar to a question from earlier.
Yeah.
But you could... Maybe you could... we could tweak that a little bit. What is the best piece of travel advice that you've received, acted upon, and seen the advantage?
Wow. That is a great lesson. The best piece of travel advice is to wear a helmet.
That's a great... That we can stop it right there, because there's so many fuckers that don't do that.
Yeah.
And I say fuckers because every time I see somebody not wearing a helmet, you know, I want to be like, put your fucking helmet on.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, may you be well.
Yeah.
Me and Kayla, you know, did that. We were like, okay, we're trying not to judge people, so we shouldn't judge the people that are not wearing helmets. Let's just say, may you be well, right?
Yeah.
Wear a goddamn helmet. That's so true.
And with me, I always took it one step further. Is I would request a helmet with a face mask, mainly because of the bugs.
Yeah. There's bug hours here.
Yeah.
At dusk, like 6 to 7 or 5 to 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. I usually hide in my bungalow at that time. What is the next item to complete on your bucket list?
Oh, wow. Yeah, my bucket list has grown in size since traveling. Yeah. Yeah, like I've been skydiving. I've gotten plenty of tattoos. Yeah, I've, you know, rode to from here to China on a motorcycle.
Sick.
Like, I've done some really crazy things. But
yeah.
I think the next thing on my bucket list was or is to... I really want to go... Oh, man. I think I want to go into a jungle with a machete.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really interested in going into an overgrown area and not only having the knowledge to navigate it safely, but know that I have a tool to create a path where there isn't one.
Yeah.
Because I know that
create
experience
a path. Yeah.
Will translate
oh, yeah.
to some mental experiences.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, yeah, I oftentimes use, like, I have these energetic reins that I put on my reality.
Yeah.
And I try to learn lessons actively in every moment so I can basically articulate lessons for myself to grow from and guide others.
That's a perfect mindset, man. I love that. That's only, you can only grow from that.
Yeah.
Because if you put yourself in situations, like, on, what is the word? It's unpredictable situations that you know that you don't know how you're going to solve it until you get there.
Yeah.
That is growth. That's just, that is how you grow. It's just amazing. I love that answer. What is the most useful item you've brought with you on your travels?
Ooh, my most useful item. So I have two answers.
Yeah.
So the first, so I'll tell you what I brought and then what I took away. So, I think the most useful item has been my backpack, but I got a different backpack because I realized that backpacks are really important.
Yeah.
So, I totally qualified my backpack when I bought this.
Yeah,
definitely a rain jacket.
Yeah.
There's been, and like, you want to get one that's actually kind of bright. Like, I had a bright blue and orange rain jacket, and when I first started traveling, I'm like, I look like a dunce.
Yeah.
You know, everyone sees me, he's like, that guy is a foreigner. But that rain jacket has been with me for a long time, and I've really kind of felt that I am safe with it on. People mm-hmm. recognize me, I can walk in the street. You know, I know my dad would be so proud to hear that, because he always said, like, you know, not only was I raised to wear a helmet always, even when every single one of my friends was not wearing a helmet,
you
I had
wear
to.
A fucking helmet.
But he was really big on, like, I was used to being in the cycling, so he's like, put reflectors on your bike.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been a really good lesson that I've just kept forward.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think a lot of times when I'm traveling, I think about, like, if my parents could see me, like, if I was riding a motorcycle and I had, like, a drone filming me,
mm-hmm.
like, they'd be so proud, like, to see me just, like, doing this.
He's wearing a helmet.
Yeah. And then the thing that I've got, all my travels is a reusable water bottle.
Yeah,
and
that's smart. I was gonna say that,
yeah. So I started traveling without one. My buddy had one. I was super jealous. Every time I saw him fill it up, I'm like, damn, like,
yeah.
I just want to get a cool one. Like,
yeah,
his
right.
was cool. And like, I'm not going to
do that. That's yours, right?
Yeah, this
what
one's
is
cool.
That?
One. This one is called a Dopper. I got this from Holland.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's a Dutch company. And, yeah, I'm really big on function. So this, I definitely also qualified my water bottle.
Yeah.
So this, you know, it's an open top here. But you can actually take this part off, and it doubles as a wine glass.
Oh, nice!
And yeah, you can just
you can like
have
serve. Yeah. Because we're recording, yeah.
Yeah, so that's been really cool.
That's really cool.
And yeah, like, I feel that if you can carry a water bottle, there are refill stations in every restaurant you go to.
Yeah.
And it, you know what?
It's super useful. And you stay fucking hydrated, which is important.
Yes. Yeah. I drink about 8 of those a day, minimum. Yeah,
that's amazing.
And also, like, I actually feel good that if I'm in a day and I don't speak to many people, I think as long as I speak to someone at a restaurant and say, hey, can I have some water?
Uh-huh.
It kind of fosters some kind of interaction.
Yeah.
And I really thrive on interaction. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what the context is, as long as you're opening your mouth and getting some kind of reciprocity, I draw energy from that.
Love that. Water bottles. Get you reusable water bottles, my friends.
Yeah.
I swear to God. Even at home, like, it's so much easier to have that than to, like, grab a glass every time. Even, like, growing up, I imagine I would be drinking a lot more water. I'd probably be healthier now. You know? If I... Because, you know, I've had a theory of there's people in the world that doesn't have water, but there's also people in the world that has water that doesn't drink enough.
Yes.
Right? And that's a statistic that I, you know, trying to get to, and, you know, and use that against to my life. Like, have I had enough water? How does that work? Like, and then having the bottle, obviously, being here, has been great. I don't feel dehydrated. I feel like I'm functioning better just because I had enough water, and that's just, you know, in itself amazing. We've touched on this already. We've touched on how would you say traveling has helped you evolve, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely strengthened the connection with my own mind, you know, with my spirit. I think with all of my energy, I just got a firmer handle on what it takes to kind of reattune. You know, there's so many times where in our everyday life, we become numb to our own feelings because we're just like in a repetitive cycle. But out here, you know, because we have time to pause, there's a lot more inward introspection that happens. And I think it gives an opportunity to say, you know what, like, I need to work on my digestion.
Yeah.
So I'm going to focus next week on digestion.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to focus this week on grounding, you know, yoga.
Yeah.
Just because you need to open up that root chakra.
So it helps you. You would say you've evolved in your level of self-awareness.
Yes, self-awareness for sure. Yeah, I think one of the best advice I got from my uncle when I started traveling. He's like, "I know you're gonna be great, but keep your wits to you."
Yeah,
and that's always stuck to me because when I first got to Asia, I was really wide-eyed. Like everywhere I looked, I'm like, "Wow, this is so much to take in." And then now I realize if you look wide-eyed, you're more likely to be approached by someone who's going to scam you.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to Europe, there's going to be gypsies who come up to you and like, hey, like, can I show you a trick? And, you know, just be a lot more omnipresent throughout every single location you go. And you'll be great.
Yeah, that's really cool. So that's how have travel evolved, right? How have travel helped
evolved
you evolve?
Me, yeah. So
now, a different question is why? Why has travel helped you evolve? Traveling helped you evolve?
I think it would best be described in an acronym. So I'm really into acronyms, and one that I heard recently was the idea of SAFE. So we all look at being safe as in our bubble, and then there's the uncomfort zone where we're like, oh my God, unsafe. I don't want to go there, but I got to go there. So we could look at SAFE as an acronym, and that's stay average forever.
Yeah.
So if I want to stay average forever, I'm not going to travel.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to be extraordinary.
Yeah.
I want to be unique, and I want to have stories that can make the world brighter.
Yeah, man.
So that's why I went to travel, and I think I've had a relationship with travel being always push.
Yeah.
Higher we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it, too. Why traveling has helped is because of diversity, I think.
Yes.
It's because of the...
That exposure.
The changes in perspective at all times. The new people you get to talk about every single day that are from different parts of the world that speak different languages, but that they understand each other, but actually not. They don't speak the same language, but it's just similar. And then there's all of these perspectives that you, like, interconnect, which I believe is why traveling has personally helped me evolve, which is just, you know, a cool fucking reality. What is your dream traveling experience? You might already be in it.
Yeah, I might be in it. Yeah.
Cool. That's it.
And I think the dream is to be able to have, for me, it's artistic freedom. So however that manifests, it will evidently lead me to a place of peace.
Yeah.
And being able to connect with people on a daily basis and contribute to my environment and community. Mm-hmm. I care deeply about community and making sure that I am playing a part that leaves it brighter than I found it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And that's how you build community. That's how you build anything, really.
Yeah.
With that mindset. That's
and
awesome.
Staying here in Pi for more than a few months, I mean, you felt it as well. You have that relationship.
Yeah.
The people around you, the Thai people, even the other travelers, they support you. I mean, I support you, man.
Yeah,
every time I see you doing something new, I'm like both hands up, my feet are up, I'm levitating for you, man.
Cool.
like literally.
That's awesome. I love that. And that's the aura around here in Pi, I feel
yes.
like. Also, like, you're being supported, whatever it is that you're doing. If you're on the open stage mic and you're like, you just picked up the fucking guitar and you haven't sung one song in front of anybody, you're going to get cheered at, right?
Yes.
Because it's not the performance that is valued. It's that you got out there in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's what's so beautiful about this place. Let's change subject for a little bit.
Cool.
It's just a simple question, actually, because what I really want to do is inspire people to get the fuck out of their home countries and experience the world, right? Because there's so many people that are in their countries, in their even hometowns, that haven't even left and they're 25 years old, right? So how do we get these people to get out of their little bubbles and experience the world? Most people, I would say 95% of people are like, I don't have the money. I don't have the time. But everything it's about comes down to priorities. What do you want to prioritize, right? So to put a new perspective into people's minds, how much money would you say you would need for 6 months traveling experience in Southeast Asia?
6 months, no working.
No working. So,
okay.
So we can play with a scenario, right? Because we're volunteers, right?
Yeah, volunteers. So we're going to
volunteer
be my direction,
is great,
yeah.
Right? If you're volunteering for 6 months, you probably wouldn't need more than like $2,000.
Yeah.
Because if you're volunteering, you get free accommodation. Here we get, 50% off everything. Some places even give you food, right? So if you don't have to pay for food, you don't have to pay for accommodation, you don't need basically anything, right?
Yeah.
But if you're not working, and if you're not volunteering, and you're 6 months out traveling in Southeast Asia, and you're traveling solo, how much do you need?
I want to say between, 2,000 to 4,000 max.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because it depends how quickly you want to go.
Yeah.
And where you want to go to.
Yeah.
So, for example, Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia, they're a similar, economical situation. If you go down to Indonesia, it just varies on where you go. I mean, I've been to Bali, which was expensive in the south, but then when I went to...
It's an island.
So. Yes. But then I went to other islands in Indo, such as Java, and it was very cheap there.
Interesting.
I've been to Malaysia 3 times. It was really cheap there. For example, when I went to Europe, it was at minimum 12 to 15 euros a night for a hostel.
Yeah.
And in Southeast Asia, people don't know this, but it's 4 euros.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you could probably get it for 3, like 100 baht.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's like...
There are places in Pai you can get for 60 baht.
Yeah, which is $2?
Yeah, not even.
Yeah, not even $2. So the thing is, it's just like, I think people in their hometown believe that things will cost just as much when you travel.
Yeah.
And I
which
think
is
that's
not
a,
even close to the truth.
Yeah, that's a big status quo that needs to be broken. Is,
yeah.
You know, but for example, if you do work here, you get paid less. So it's just relative to where you go.
Yeah.
And I think the best thing, I met this guy from Israel a while back, and he had done it where he had traveled all Southeast Asia. He came to Chiang Mai and Pai at the beginning of his travel. And he said, I love it here in paradise. Mm-hmm. He went to Vietnam. I think he went down to Malaysia. And then he came back to paradise just to volunteer for his last 2 weeks of his trip because he wanted to experience what it was like to be in a local setting.
Cool.
And I thought that was really valuable.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So like if you like somewhere and you have 6 months to do it, take it slow.
Yeah. 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 No, don't rush anything. That's one of the things that I've experienced here too. Like planning ahead is not necessarily advantageous because plans might change. You truth.
There's a reason why it's typical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth, right? So I've realized, you know, I came here with $4,000. We were planning to stay out 6 months.
Nice.
We were two people. We did 4 months without having to, you know, re-up our funds. And then, you know, obviously we had some complications which led to, you know, we probably spent up to like $5,000. But it's two people and it's 6 months. $5,000 is not that much money, right?
Yeah.
We also could have, you know, it depends on how much you drink.
Oh, yeah. Alcohol, I don't drink.
Right?
Yeah.
Me neither.
Mainly because of that.
I've been in Pi 5 months. I haven't been out at Bar Street once. Every time I've drank alcohol has been at Paradise. And it's mostly like fed to me.
Gifted,
right?
Yeah. Gifted alcohol is okay. Yeah.
So yeah, this is like the narrative that I want to create. You don't need a lot of money to travel.
Yeah.
Perfect. We can move on.
Yeah, I feel like you're gonna get that from a parallel. Like, if that's the message you want to convey to your audience,
yeah.
Many people that you know you talk to, no matter which country you're in, are gonna say, yeah, if you have a will to be there, you will find a way.
Yes, always, 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 always. Let's talk about the future a little bit. Not your dream job. What is your dream job? I asked that question to Dylan. They said, first of all, if I had a dream job, it wouldn't be a job.
Yeah.
And I said, obviously not, because you would have probably created that thing, and it would be your passion. It would be, you know, what you love doing, right?
Yeah.
So what would that be? Or are you already there?
No, see, the thing is, with me, I like to work.
Yeah.
I think working is... I have a very positive relationship with work, and my dream
That's
job
awesome.
Does entail work.
It's because you associate work with something you like doing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I associate work with fulfillment.
Exactly.
So these two things go hand in hand. I think for me, being raised in an artistic setting, I'd like to do something in the creative space, but I'm incredibly humble in myself to know that my journey is far from over,
yeah.
and maybe I haven't discovered... what outlet will be there, but
yeah.
I think my dream job is to write a book and be a public speaker.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's help each other with that, because that's my dream too.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I truly, truly want to be on stage somehow.
Yeah.
Public speaker.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Where would you most like to live in the world and why?
I would love to live in Budapest.
Nice.
So, Budapest was somewhere where I traveled to, and not only did it just embody my entire expectation and more of what I thought
cool.
Europe would be, all in one place, but it had integrated public transport, it had tons of local open areas, it had tons of vegan restaurants.
Amazing.
And it was an international city.
And it's not too expensive.
It's not too expensive,
yeah.
No. It's probably one of the cheaper cities in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about Budapest.
Yeah. Yeah, so did you know Budapest is actually two cities merged?
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there's a river that runs through that divides Buda from Pest.
Really?
Yeah, so when you go there, it's like, you don't really know this, and then people are like, yeah, I'm going over to Buda today, and you're like...
What?
What?
I never heard that. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Pest side was where, like, all of the like, festivities were, a lot of the local events, and then on the Buda side was, like, the cathedrals and, like, a lot of the older architecture.
That's so cool. Budapest.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Wow, so I know, this guy, not personally, but, you know, through podcasts. His name is Tom Bilyeu.
Tom Bilyeu
is the shit.
Yes,
like,
he's amazing.
So I've listened to Impact Theory for a long time now, and he says this quote that whatever you set for your 10-year plan, make it happen in 6 months.
Yeah.
So that's sort of like right when I hear that question, I think Tom would be proud because he's like, yes, like I got a trigger. Because
uh-huh.
that's really it. It's the trigger. So what do I want my plan to be in 6 months
uh-huh.
would be the proper answer to this. Yeah, in 6 months, I want to... Yeah, re-up my funds a ton. I want to go to South America. I want to go to Canada. Definitely go back to the States and potentially either live in Budapest or live back in Pi during the right season. And then the 10-year plan is to be fully sustainable with basically everything in my life, you know.
Business?
Yeah, business. I've been an entrepreneur for a few years now. I know what it takes to you know, get out of bed and you know, kind
get
of
working on it.
Yeah, like move against the currents of
yeah.
life. But yeah, I think that in 10 years, I want to have inspired a million people.
Are you happy?
Am I happy?
Yeah, in 10 years?
Yeah, I'm definitely
happy. Because you're happy now.
Yeah, in 10 years, I hope to be... I hope my process from now to, you know, what would be the year be? 2029?
Yeah.
If at that time, I'd like to be present along the whole journey.
Yeah, that's a great goal. I got to read a New Earth about once a year to be able to do that.
Nice.
We're closing up now. We're 55 minutes in.
Cool.
And we're going to do some last questions. It's going to be a sequence of either or, so you just pick.
Okay, rapid fire.
Yep.
Let's go.
And then I'm going to ask you the last question that I've asked everybody. Actually, most of the questions I've asked them, but this is a really cool question that I've created. And people come up with different answers, which is pretty cool. So either or, train or bus?
Train.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee. Espresso.
You like doubles?
Doubles.
Yeah, I like doubles too. Have you had French, like Belgium coffee or something?
Yeah, I've had almost. I worked as a barista.
Oh, you
for
went
a few
to Europe.
Years.
Have you had like Molongo coffee? Molongo?
What's that?
Molongo coffee. I don't know. I marketed it. It's the most amazing fucking coffee in the world, I think. Molongo, Rumbouts. You didn't try it when you were there? Amazing. Well, yeah, double espresso is my thing.
Yeah.
Toilets, squats or Western?
To be real, like, Western is nice, but, like, I'll go for a Bush.
Yeah. If you have to go, you have to go.
Yeah.
Fan or air conditioning?
Air conditioning.
Really?
Yeah.
I've gone over to fan now.
Only because in the tattoo studio there's air conditioning.
Oh, yeah, you're just
and
still there.
And it cools the whole room, not just one area.
You gotta, like, follow the fan.
Yeah.
Strict schedule or go with the flow?
Strict schedule with open segments, open time blocks.
A solid combination of that.
Yeah.
It's something that is perfect for me. Beer or wine?
Wine.
City or countryside?
Man, I'm totally floored on that one. I'm going to say city because I'm in a state of growth right now. I think after city, countryside all the way.
I prefer the city. Two. Yeah. Window or aisle seat?
Ooh. Window.
Bungee jumping, yes or no?
Yes.
Solo travel or group travel?
Solo. Groups are inevitable.
If space travel was available, yes or no?
No, Earth is pretty great.
Psychedelics or cannabis?
Psychedelics.
Cool. So, this is the last question. I love that. That's awesome. I was unsure about asking that last one. I can also cut it out. But it's, you know, that's a different topic. It's a different, you know, podcast, maybe even cannabis and psychedelics, which is something that I'm going to slowly like incorporate.
That might be a whole podcast in itself.
Yeah, maybe we should start like a separate one. This one is called The Daily Unpacking.
Nice.
Kayla's came up with that name. It was pretty cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
Nice K-poms.
So the last question, to close it all up, we got another 2 minutes, which is perfect. I've asked this to myself, and I've come up with so many different answers to it. I asked it to Dylan, I asked it to Sandra, they had completely different answers. So I'm going to ask it to you too. If the entire world was listening right now, what would you say to them?
I would tell everybody to take a breath and to smile at yourself and say, I can do it.
That's perfect.
I think everybody has a different dream, and we all have the potential inside of ourselves to actualize it. Sometimes we need a little help. Sometimes we need a little bump, but oftentimes we're the only one that's going to be that.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for doing this with me, Cameron.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And see you guys in the next one.